Meeting to order. If you could all stand, Mr. Crawford, can you lead us in the pledge?
Could you all rise, please, and direct your eyes to the flag, and please follow me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation.
Thank you.
I would like to thank everybody for coming tonight. It's very nice to see a full house. There was no action taken in closed session. Next, we have our student representative to the board, Petra Nabi from MCAA. Petra?
Hello, so I don't have any minutes from other schools, and I have no updates from my school. We're all doing well, so that is all from me.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have our school report from McKinney Intermediate School. Mr. Seiler?
Good evening, Cabinet, Mr. Hodson, Mr. Carrion, Dr. Starkey, Board of Trustees, Board President, Mr. Rasmussen, and community members. It's an honor to be here presenting on behalf of Anna McKinney Intermediate School. I'm happy to share some of the academic data, school culture, and our future plans for Anna McKinney. Understanding and accepting our current reality is the best place to start. We're happy with the progress, but we're never satisfied or content with our results. These are our test CASP data from last school year, our ELA scores and our math scores. As you can see, we've made progress in both ELA and in math. I'm going to show some additional slides of some subgroups related to ELA and our math scores. Our performance level of orange in our subgroups. Performance yellow in our subgroups, all increased, especially in our English learners. Our math subgroups, level orange. Our math subgroups in level yellow. And our chronic absenteeism. It's a key component to address. We have fallen into the orange category. It's difficult to increase test scores if our students aren't in class. So this is a very important component that we're going to focus on in the upcoming school year. The next slide is our chronic absenteeism in the green and blue levels. Our suspension rate data. We have a red category, an orange, and a green category, as you can see. Our current data for the first 100 days of school. Last year, we had 147 students and we had 95 days of suspension. The current school year, we have 616 students, 78 days of suspension. So we've increased probably 70 students and we've decreased our suspension by a little bit. We've included an ED program on campus as well as many interventions to help limit or lower these numbers. School culture, our PBIS efforts are a key component in addressing our absenteeism and our suspension rate. We hold monthly saturation weeks where we focus on identifying specific behaviors, areas, or locations. So we pull the data and we kind of address it with our PBIS Tier 2 team. We pass out our McKinney cards, are distributed by staff members. We review these areas and our expectations in our McKinney news, and we address them weekly in drawings. We have lunchtime activities led by our ACEs and our lunchtime leadership team. Our Tier 2 interventions. We meet weekly with Tier 2 team. We create interventions. We have check-in, check-out, MASH, SST meetings, and tutoring programs. Discussions are centered on supporting students and staff development of the interventions and support levels. We've also introduced thank you cards and morning announcements for staff members of the week to create a more positive school culture. Additional supports that our students are in receiving, Upward Bound, ATS, we have a BUGS program. We have top-notch luncheon with staff members. We are focused on college and career awareness. Our students take a survey on virtual job shadow, and we are currently scheduling a professional presentation week during May, where we're wanting to bring out community members from a variety of agencies to speak with our students. I'd like to take a moment to share what the kids are doing to support school culture. Right now, I would like to welcome Assistant Superintendent, Mr. Troy Hain. Excuse me, Vice Principal.
We need another chair at this table.
Good evening. I'm a pretty firm believer that picture speaks a thousand words, so here's a quick little video of life at McKinney.
That's a good one. Thank you.
So we realized that social media is pretty challenging in today's day and age, but in McKinney we decided that we're going to be proactive. We have two social media accounts that are our student outreach support specialist handles. We've got a Facebook account for the adults, Instagram for the students, where to meet them on both of their levels. We also show a weekly McKinney news segment that's shown every Friday. I'm producing it right now. These are my 8th grade anchors. I'm currently recruiting 7th and 6th grade anchors to replace them. So here's a quick little, I'm not going to show the full piece, but I'll show a quick little segment of it. Come on.
McKinney Mustangs, I'm Alondra.
I'm Donnie.
And I'm Alani.
Welcome to 2019 Mustangs.
This week marks the start of the third quarter. Mustangs, the word of the week for next week is organized. Organized means to arrange in a structured whole. In other words, to have some sort of order. Mustangs, a key to success is being organized. Look in your backpack. How organized are you, Mustangs? Mustangs, next Wednesday is an early release Wednesday. School will be released at 12:54. Be sure to let your parents know.
Mustangs, next Wednesday is also a behavioral award movie for the 6th and 7th grade. If you received a permission slip, make sure you bring that permission slip with you to school on Wednesday. That is your ticket to attending. The movie that will be shown is...
8th grade. Our behavioral reward is a Friday during 7th period. Make sure you have your permission slip signed in your hand on Friday if you plan to attend.
Mustangs, on Tuesday, January 22nd, we'll be having the second quarter awards assembly. 6th grade will go during first period, 7th grade will go during second period, and 8th grade will go during third period.
McKinney cards were drawn last week. Just a reminder from Ms. Velasquez and Ms. Yesenia, make sure you write your first and last name neatly on those McKinney cards. Here are the winners.
So there's just kind of a quick snapshot of our McKinney News. You can kind of see how we get our weekly information out, recognize our PBIS winners, as well as there's an additional component there where it celebrates our athletic events that are going on in our classrooms. The teachers use a variety of methods to go ahead and communicate with parents. Remind a 101, which is a direct dialing app that you can use to chat with your parents and create groups. Class Dojo, which some of the classes, even 8th grade, uses. On the forefront, it looks kind of elementary, but some of those 8th grade classes get a whole lot of success out of it, as well as standard methods through ARIES. I'll turn it back over to Mr. Seiler.
As we transition into next year, our primary focus is our professional learning communities. We're continuously building common formative assessments. We're working right now on developing a daily schedule. We're making modifications to ensure that we have Mustang time, which would be a time to have interventions and support and extensions based on specific standards. We're working on creating new elective pathways centered around STEM and visual and performing arts. And I'll let Mr. Haynes share a little bit about our vision moving forward with our PBIS school culture.
Our PBIS Tier 1 team is going to help. We're updating our poster expectations and then video presentations that we'll show during the first week of school to kind of reinforce those expectations. A video that's been in the works for several years is a school introduction video, kind of when you have a new student coming to your campus, an easy way to acclimate them to the way we would do things at McKinney. We're also going to implement our 5-star student system, which, if done seamlessly, it'll make our PBIS cards and points process a lot easier, as well as parent communication. We're currently planning to have a welcome back to school community social before we have school next year, and then introduce some motivational speakers over the course of the year.
We appreciate the guidance and support. Thank you very much, and please come out and visit if we have any questions.
Any comments for board members? I would just like to thank you, Mr. Hain, Mr. Seiler, for everything that you're doing for our site. Thank you very much.
Just have a comment. You know, I'm really pleased what I'm seeing at McKinney. I came in and, as you know, visited with you, and it's really obvious that you're dedicated to that school. I could tell after talking to you for an hour that you're dedicated, you've got your heart in it, and that's something we've needed at McKinney. They've not had any administrator stay for more than 3 years, the last 25 years. And it's a good school. That's where I started my career as a teacher at McKinney. And you guys are doing a great job, and I'm very pleased. One of the things I noticed in your report, you said crystal clear communication. And communication is so important to build trust where the faculty and the people that work with you trust. And you did a very good report, and it really laid out what you plan to do, and you've got good plans for McKinney. And I think you're on the right track. And I'm really pleased that you're there.
Appreciate it.
I would just like to say...
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Scott.
I would just like to thank you so much for that presentation. It was very well received. And also, I did read your letter that you all sent to us, and you guys have it going on over there at McKinney. I can't wait to come over there and see what you're doing. Thank you very much for your
work. Of course, thank you.
Thank you again. I do want to apologize for all the folks that are having to stand tonight, but thank you very much for coming. And what I would like to do is to make just a little adjustment to the agenda. If the board has no objection, we would like to move on to the superintendent under new business, item number one, which would be the superintendent, the five-year charter renewal request for the Paragon Collegiate Academy. Are there any objections from the board members to move that item forward? No? Oh. Was I not supposed to talk? Was I waiting
for
Ralph?
You're fine. You're fine. He just thought I was going to give my superintendent report, which I'm not. I'm going to go with what you've said, which is item number one under new business under superintendent, which is the five-year renewal. We're just a little...
I think we're on the same page now.
Just leave it right there. I'll get to it in a bit.
Okay, so we would like to open a public hearing to renew or take a look at the five-year charter renewal request for Paragon Collegiate Academy. The public hearing is now open.
I just would like to start by saying that I've had staff review their application for their five-year renewal, and we are we approve of what they have laid out and what they have been doing, and so they have our full support.
And I would just like to say again, thank you all for coming tonight. It's wonderful to see the audience full. Is there any other discussion from board members? If not, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Move to close.
Oh.
Some comments.
Yes. Come right ahead, sir.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Serafin Alvarez. Like many of us at Paragon, I wear many hats. I am currently the Vice President of the Board of Directors, Chief Financial Officer, and one of the founders of this small but mighty elementary school. I stood before you over 8 years ago asking for your support to open and successfully implement our petition to start a new K through 8th grade charter school. I would like to thank you for your unanimous support to approve our petition. If I may, I'd like to take you back to the years of 2010 and 11. The United States was in one of the largest financial crises that had not been seen since the Great Depression. Millions of Americans lost their home, and millions more lost their jobs. And for the public school systems, we were introduced to a new system of funding called deferrals. In short, this meant that schools would receive funding when the state had it, which could be from 6 to 9 months later, but in the meantime, schools had to continue funding payroll and all operating costs. We found out that there were mixed blessings during this financial crisis. On the negative side, due to Paragon being brand new, we had little access to short-term credit and had to resort to selling receivables. Paragon did not have a budget deficit problem, but had a cash flow problem. Although selling receivables was not inexpensive, it supported our cash flow needs. On the positive side, when it came time to hire our certificated staff, seven positions drew over 300 applicants, which allowed us to pick from the best. Furthermore, our parents were amazing during this time. When they became aware that Paragon was running out of paper, a hand truck full of cases of paper would arrive at the school office. In addition, teachers would report that boxes full of classroom supplies would show up in their classroom. And I can't forget about our staff. They went up above and beyond the call of duty to take care of all the kids' needs during this time of shortfalls. I now look back and would love to be lying if I said I would love to do it again. But I can say opening Paragon this time made us more financially conservative and very grateful for our current academic and financial position. I would like to fast forward 8 years later. Paragon enrollment has steadily grown and as of today has reached 178 students. We started off the year with a waiting list in many of our lower grades and conducted our first lottery. Our growing student population and our waiting list is a testament of the value we are adding to our local community. Financially, Paragon ended its first year with a fund balance of $144,000 and has steadily grown ever since. And because of this, Paragon has a defensive interval of 4.24 months. Furthermore, because of our Paragon's outstanding record of managing payables, we have secured a credit line of $250,000, giving us an additional level of security if the dreadful deferral system ever comes back. I'm also proud to say that in our last 8 independent audits, Paragon has not received one report of material weaknesses and has successfully ended each audited year with no financial findings. As proud as we are of these accomplishments, our financial strategy has never forgotten the real reason why we are here. This is to educate our kids. Paragon has invested hundreds of thousands in curriculum, signs, FOSS kits, and computers for staff and students. Currently, our computer-to-student ratio is 1-to-1. We are also very proud of our before and after school program, which is free for all of our family and is fully funded from our general fund. Unfortunately, Paragon does not currently qualify for the ACES program. However, this does not stop us from having a strong program that offers many enrichment classes, which our kids and parents really enjoy. Our mission inspires and drives all that we do at Paragon. I believe a quote by the great Greek philosopher Aristotle describes our mission accurately. The quote reads, "Educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all." This reinforces our beliefs that developing ethics and values is essential in teaching children in a holistic manner, which includes a strong importance in giving back to our community. I think Pablo Picasso says it best when he said, "The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away." These beliefs inspired our own school mantra, which is preparing minds for leadership and hearts for service. I would like to close with thanking for your time and would like to request your support in renewing our charter renewal for an additional 5 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, board. It's a pleasure to be here. As you can see, we do have a very nice, and thank you all my parents and students and staff for showing up and support Paragon. Just a brief highlight on the PowerPoint that I'm going to present to you. Hits, like Mr. Alvarez said, we address the whole child, so there's a little bit of everything, a little bit of academics, so follow along. So before I go any further, hi! I am Laura Cotney. I'm the principal of Paragon Collegiate Academy. It is very exciting to be here tonight. Hang on just a second. So, all right, in EL academics, okay, this remarkable level of significant improvement by our students reflect a unified teaching commitment by the entire staff. Our collaborative approach includes flexible grouping to target specific goals with each child and also offer opportunities to nurture each child's progress in a positive environment. As you can see, from 2015 to 2016 to 16-17, that was an enormous growth period. So that was real exciting to see both staff and myself. We worked very hard to target those goals. In regards to math, the same thing. Using many of the strategies from our ELA platform, our students were able to excel in this area as well, including additionally English learners maintaining a progress of high at 78.3%. Okay. As a result of the math academics or any of the academics, we celebrate, and I keep trying to hit that piece, so hang on a second. Okay, we celebrate this year with what's called our Falcons Rally for Success, which is a rendition of the Renaissance rallies. At this time, the kids are recognized. As you can see, there's different kids out there, different levels. They run to music, they run laps, and for attendance, behavior, as well as academics. And for the behavior piece, it's a Paragon Award that I give out. Academics is for making any kind of growth on our benchmark as well as the state. And then the perfect attendance piece that we offer. Okay. Character counts. That's a big piece of it's the backbone of Paragon Collegiate Academy. Character traits is character counts. There are significant character traits. Each one of those colors represent a different trait. We do this every year during our Spirit Week. We have staff and students dress up and take a school-wide picture on our website. So this represents all the character traits that we trustworthy, caring, citizenship. Okay. Next is the Falcons After School Program, run by my after school director, Melissa Overmeyer, right here. There you go. All right, during the after-school program, starts at 2:30 and it goes to 6. It's a school-wide academic hour. It's 3 to 4. All students receive homework support. And after that, there is enrichment hour from 4 to 5. This includes school sports, track, soccer, and basketball. And that was new to us last year, so that was a good job, both Melissa and Coach Jesse, for bringing this on board and getting us involved, because our middle school really needed to have that sports program. Okay. We also have in the program, we have sewing, cooking, music, and coding. I don't know a lot about coding. I know they make little robots. Okay. I'm just saying. But it's a marvelous class, and that is taught by Christina Hansen. Okay. All right. Some of our sports pictures, music pictures, track pictures, and sewing pictures. Okay, that includes some pictures, just a few pictures to show what our kids are doing during the day. All right. Here's a list of our community events. Paragon is big on community events. We have our own walkathon run by Valerie Farrell as well as Melissa Overmeyer. We participate in the Marysville Veterans Day Parade. We hosted a Thanksgiving feast, even with schools closed this year during our bad weather. We opted to offer it to our parents and students if they wanted to come and join us. We did go ahead and provide that Thanksgiving feast to those people, okay, and invited anybody else, including the campfires, to come on down. Marysville Annual Christmas Parade, okay, we participate every year, and again, thanks to a very competitive Melissa Overmeyer, we usually place in that, so usually running first or second place in one category or another, okay. We have a Christmas program and a winter social. Christmas program is done by Becky O'Connor and Heidi Ramey. They're awesome. Each year they create and write our Christmas program for our students. Each year it's unique. Each year it's different. Each year it is amazing. Please come and join and see us on that. Okay, we have our Italian night coming up in May, end of April, I believe, maybe beginning of May. which includes a student talent show, and then ending our year with Curriculum Night Art Gallery, as well as our 4th of July fireworks booth. At our 4th of July fireworks booth, that actually funds our Bakke Hugs, and the HUG stands for Honorary University Gift Scholarship for our 8th grade students. We offer five $1,000 scholarships to our 8th grade students after the process of application and review. And that'll show, this is the Walkathon, Thanksgiving Feast, Christmas program, and look at the smile on that kid's face. How can you not be happy about that particular one? And then our 4th of July works. That's probably one of the most hottest time of the year to do a community event. Okay? I would like to ask you for your support to approve our 5-year renewal, and thank you again for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Board of Trustees. My name is Ricky Samayo. I'm the mayor of the city of Marysville. I'm here in support of Paragon and their request to renew their 5-year charter. I want to start by letting you know that not only am I the mayor of Marysville, but I'm also a parent of a second grader at Kynoch, and we're doing a great job at Kynoch. So thank you for your support of Kynoch. He's had some amazing teachers at Kynoch, and they're doing a wonderful job at our school. So I'm fully supportive of all the work you guys are doing, and thank you for your efforts in doing that. The reason why I support Paragon's efforts is because of the passion not only the parents, but their teachers and their administrations have shown to provide the best education they can for their students. I believe in choice. I believe parents and families need that choice. And it won't take away from what we are doing here in Marysville. It actually adds to all the efforts that we're doing in making our communities better, in making them a place, a great place to raise a family, a great place to do business in. We want to attract more folks to invest in the city of Marysville. And this academy provides an additional choice, and people will see that as a way to say, yeah, Marysville is a great place to come and raise my family. So I support their efforts, and I thank staff for their support on their application, and I hope you vote in the affirmative. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you about the benefit Paragon brings to the Yuba Sutter community. I'm Dr. Emma Blackthorne. I'm employed by the local community college district as a dean and a part-time anthropology professor. I also serve on various community nonprofit boards, and I'm a proud parent of a Paragon student, the latter being my purpose for speaking this evening. Paragon's mission and values are vital to the community. Leadership, community engagement, curiosity, civility, and compassion, values that are at the heart of why this institution is critical and timely. Knowing what makes our students successful, always asking how they can improve the learning experience for students, generates student and parent loyalty, incontrovertible evidence here tonight. Moral guidance and development also serves the community and the students. Values that often appear to be waning in importance in the broader society, trustworthiness, civility, compassion, and kindness, are habits of mind that are promoted at Paragon. Young people who will eventually be our community leaders, entrepreneurs, scientists, and service professionals will serve our community, our nation, in a wholesome manner. I'm not alone in saying that my Paragon student, Madeline, has and continues inspiring me to be my very best self. That is to say that Paragon students are not future role models, they are role models today. Top colleges, universities, and employers are actively seeking and recruiting young people that have demonstrated emotional intelligence and an enduring curiosity. Notice that I did not say high GPAs, nor did I mention educational honors. That's not to say that these academic achievements are not important, but they do not singularly demonstrate a student's ability for achieving success in the post-secondary world, and Paragon knows that. Paragon fundamentally understands that academic achievement will only generate a small fraction of long-term success, knowing that wisdom is beyond just what we find in books or learn through academic exercises. Paragon rewards students not only for academic achievement, but for demonstration of wholesome values, recognizing that if students develop honorable personal values, academic improvement and achievement will naturally follow. Paragon develops habits of mind that are flexible and dynamic and will assist students in generating success long after they leave the K-12 system. They will be able to navigate the world and the expectations of the world with a positive attitude and meet challenges with dignity and grace. Students at Paragon are developing grit, resilience, a growth mindset. Students are reflexive and compassionate. These are the qualities that advance not only a distinguished academic and professional career, but they advance a wholesome, successful life and are critical to promoting unity among diverse communities. Paragon it should be commended by their unwavering commitment to who they are, keeping their purpose in sight. The faculty and staff dedication to student success and advancement is admirable, working hard to keep everyone connected to what's important. In closing, Paragon provides an important service to our community. They're developing the future generation, not just of knowledgeable leaders, but ethical and compassionate leaders. Thank you, and I hope you support Paragon in their renewal application.
Thank you very much. I would like to just reiterate what Dr. Starkey said earlier, that it is a very, very, very good plan that you put together and submitted to us. And personally, I think it's a great, great alternative for students that would like to attend Paragon. Is it possible that we could maybe have one or two more speakers, or? Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Lydia Donaldson.
I'm Latoya Green.
And we are both currently in eighth grade at Paragon Collegiate Academy, and we began kindergarten when the school opened in 2011.
Our experience at Paragon is overall awesome, and we've been given so many opportunities, and it's a great school.
As a student, I believe that Paragon's academic program does a very good job at preparing us for high school and college. And I think being a small school helps with that in making sure that everybody fully understands each concept we're taught.
The academics help to challenge me and to grow academically. We have small classrooms, and I feel like that's really good for learning because each person gets the individual help that they need to understand something. And the staff at Paragon, I feel like they're great. They always encourage us. They help us know that we can do what we put our mind to.
The staff at Paragon are the most caring people I've ever met and have helped shape us into the people we are today. For example, Mr. Jesse introduced me to sports I've never tried before. Ms. Christina helped me discover careers in design technology and coding. And also, Ms. Gann, Ms. Rainey, and Ms. O'Connor, our middle school teachers, have helped teach me much more than just the curriculum. And they also nominated me and Latoya to attend Tech Trek, a STEM-based camp at UC Davis that I will never forget.
We also have character counts, which is where we have responsibility, trustworthiness, and much more. And I feel like it helps me become a better person, and it also motivates other people to do the right thing.
And there's also a part where in the morning we will be given a quote or a short story and ask questions based on it. And I think that really helps each student understand what it truly means to be caring, trustworthy, respectful, responsible, fair, and an overall great citizen. And if that wasn't enough, Paragon also offers a $1,000 scholarship every year for graduating eighth graders, which has collectively given out $23,000 in scholarships, and is a great way to motivate students to go to college.
Overall, we would just like to see Paragon thrive for another 5 years and even more, and it would be great if we had your support for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The girls did a very good job, very brave. Is there any more? Sure, could we make this the last one, please?
Yeah. I just wanted to speak as a parent. My name is Sydney Beasley, and my child has been going, this is her second year. I had to find a new school because the district lines got changed where we live. Although that school is right in back of my house. And she was going to have to go to a school all the way on McGowan. And I searched around and I heard about Paragon and I went in and checked it out. And I have seen my child blossom. She's always been a little outgoing, but she was kind of shy around other kids before. And she's made friendships, not with the kids, but with the teachers. And the time that the teachers and all the staff put in with these kids is unbelievable. I've never been to a school before where they know a parent by name and which child, what classroom the child's in, what grade the child's in, they know it just like that. And it's a wonderful atmosphere. The other thing that I really appreciate about it is the after-school program. Where I was before, you had to get in a tent and camp out at the school and maybe be one of the first 25 to be able to get your kid in there. Very hard on working parents. I'm retired. But, you know, I have other daughters that have kids that have to go through that. And I like that that is based on their behavior, their grades, and how they are in school. It's not based on an income. It's not based on who you are. It's based that you're in the school and you're learning. And you're learning to be a good citizen and you're learning your scholastics. So I would please ask that you renew their 5-year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. We're done there? Very good. Is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close the public hearing.
Motion by Mr. Davis. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? 7 yes. Now we'll entertain a motion regarding the renewal of Paragon Charter.
Is there? Make a motion to approve the charter renewal request for Paragon Collegiate Academy for the full 5 years.
And I'd like to second that.
We have a motion by Mr. Crawford and a second by Mr. Allison. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Pass unanimous, 7-0. And again, I would like to thank everyone for coming out to support your charter and your school.
Congratulations. Look at that parent support.
Hey, everybody. Gay's getting it.
Can you sign the please? And then pass it down for Jeff.
I was listening to them not paying attention. don't you continue? Frank, see what happens when you have parent support? That's what it takes.
They did this last time.
They need to have that support. He is now.
We would like to carry on with the meeting. Next on the agenda item is the comments from the board members. Ms. Scott. Mr. Davis.
The only comment I could offer tonight, I know it's getting late, was the training sessions that have been held by the district and by the county. They've been an amazing job of making great presentations, and I learned a lot. So I really appreciate all the work that goes into putting those sessions together, and encourage other board members to attend those when they have the opportunity. That's all.
Thank you. Mr. Allison. Mr. Boom, Mr. Fleury.
I would just like to say that I had gone to the nutrition committee, and they have done a lot of work. Amber does a great job. And our classified people work very hard in the cafeterias. They're feeding more and more, and it's just honor our classified. And I'm really impressed with what the Amber does in the nutrition department.
Mr. Crawford.
I'll save mine for the next meeting.
Okay. To piggyback just a little bit on Mr. Fleury, you might have saw, I guess it was maybe in the paper, our nutritional services department, you know, led by Amber Watson, received the USDA Shining Star Award for the raising community awareness on nutrition. So it just goes to show how well that department is doing. And the other board members probably saw one of our retirees in our current packet that we have. Kathy Cartwright is retiring this year. And just want to give a shout out to Kathy for all the years and dedication that she's given to our district. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Got awful quiet, didn't it?
I thought I was going to have to actually introduce myself. There's so many people. You have the calendar on tonight, and you have our sunshine tonight. And I wanted to talk about the calendar briefly. The 3 weeks for winter break is something that the majority of people still support. Having it timed with other districts, people like starting midweek is awesome because then you get to know the kids a little bit and then use that weekend to actually get ready for them and dive in that Monday with the curriculum. We were hoping for, at least with the spring break, to have it a week later, because on the draft calendar it says that we would start back the Monday after Easter Sunday, and not just employees but families who travel for such things might not be able to get back for that Monday. I mean, teachers probably will, I would hope, but our families, our average daily attendance might suffer. This microphone's doing weird things. Okay. And then the winter break, they were also thinking that if we started it a week earlier than it is in the draft, then people would have more time to get off to their travels and not have to spend the higher prices that happen right at Christmas Eve. And then from what I understand, there's been a change made since last I saw it, that November 1st is going to be like a staff teacher work day, so we don't expect the kids to come back after having a sugar high on Halloween. So that was good. I put out a survey that was just a basic one question, not like with all the standards of an administrator, but just, do you feel confident or not that your administrator is placed appropriately at your site? And I wanted to give just a very small example of the kind of data that I got. For district-wide, there were 238 people that have responded. And 78% felt that, yes, they did have, their administrator was placed appropriately at their site. 22% said no. I didn't actually give them another option, but they could write comments, which I have a lot of, and I'm not going to share those with you right now. And then I can filter it by site, and so filtering it site by site, there's such a huge range. There are some that are 100%, yes, we feel confident that our administrator is placed appropriately. There is no 100% we don't feel, so that's good, right? Like, there's not 100% of the site saying, let's get rid of this person. Unfortunately, there are a few sites that they tend to be the sites that I get the most calls from and asking for help. And so I think that this survey is pretty accurate. One of the most difficult sites has 69% of the employees saying, no, this administrator should not be at this site. And the reason that I bring this to you is that the district has put out a pencil paper survey, and many people at site rep meetings and then emails to me, texts to me, have said they can't fill it out honestly, or they may not fill it out at all because it will have their handwriting. And they know that, based on some things that happened last year, that information is going to be shared directly with the administrator. The administrator will know who they are, and they fear retribution for that. So I would really hope that in future the district would consider doing the survey, online survey, that can be anonymous. That's it. Unless anybody has any questions.
Thank you, Inga.
Cool, thanks.
Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association Number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit. Public comments. Comments are limited to the maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board bylaw 9323. Looks like we have no public comments cards. Superintendent's report. Dr. Starkey?
We're going to start with our front row Joes that are out here. Thank you for being part of that massive group, although you are ours, so we're glad you're part of Marysville and not Paragon. Having said that, they have waited very patiently to do a presentation, and so tonight you have both the Lyndhurst High School and Marysville High School athletic directors who are here to speak to some of the items that board members came upon by attending the CSBA workshop and part of the CIF program. So if with that, it looks as if Bob Eckert, principal of Lyndhurst, is rushing to the microphone.
Can't wait, huh, Bob?
Good evening. The questionnaire that we received, it started off with questions you should ask these to keep you out of trouble. And it's probably appropriately called that. Athletics is an integral part of every school, especially high schools. Communities really, really understand their sports. Back in the day, or when I, are often comments we hear. They open up to the sports section. They may not always understand the nuances of academics and changing test scores and things like that, but they sure know when their football team isn't doing well or their baseball coach, you know, is making a move. That is a very hot topic. And in today's society, as litigious as it's gotten, we just have to really be on top of things. So here are the answers to some of those questions, or all of those questions. First and foremost, we are all on the same team, and not just Marysville and Lyndhurst, but the district itself. We are one giant entity moving all in the same direction. We know that you get concerns from community members when it comes to athletics. You'll get phone calls from parents, things like that. Please funnel it down, channel it through our athletic directors, and we will effort it. It is a very, very passionate endeavor, you know, with your kids and your athletics. So we get that. And the tighter that we have all of our dotted our I's and crossing our T's, the better it's going to be for all of us. And with that, I will turn you over to the experts, Bob Jensen and Dave Kiono.
Good evening. I have the next few slides, and then I'll give it to Mr. Kiono. So all of the documentation for coaches, whether they're paid or volunteer, does meet the Ed Code. And the next slide gets into a little bit more detail. So all coaches are required to go through the NFHS and get the Fundamentals of Coaching certification. They do have a one-year grace period if they can coach for 1 year without having it, and then they are required to have it. And as athletic directors, we are responsible for collecting that and keeping track. All coaches are required to have a current and valid CPR and first aid card. In terms of concussion training and sudden cardiac arrest training and heat illness prevention, those are all courses that are available for free on nfhslearn.org. All coaches are required to take them, and again, athletic directors are responsible for keeping track. Fingerprinting, all coaches are required to be cleared through the district. If someone wants to coach, they come to us. We send them to Bobby Vardell, and they go through the fingerprinting process. So all coaches are fingerprinted before they can interact with any of the kids.
So, Bob, can I just ask a question?
Yep.
So on number one, I thought I heard you say we give a one-year grace period for getting this certification.
Yeah, that's in the board policy, that okay. They can do it for no more than 1 year without being having that certification.
But everything else has to be met before they start coaching.
Correct.
Thank you.
Things that we've done to ensure that all coaches are educated. Everyone is following recommended protocols for concussions, heat illness, and sudden cardiac arrest. The athletic trainers have been invaluable with that. That's been an amazing difference. If there's an issue, a kid has bumps his head in football, he can go to the trainer. The trainer can diagnose and clear or recommend for more if he needs to go see a doctor. Same thing for protocols for heat and humidity indexes. Again, when we had issues with the smoke with the fires, and as well as the heat, Austin was the person that we went to figure out if we could practice, if so, how long. So again, the trainers were invaluable in helping with those two bullets. Ice is available at all practices and games. We do have AED devices at on-site in the gym, and the trainer has one. And we do have an emergency action plan for every venue for all athletic events.
So again, Bob, with that action plan, if our basketball team's at Oroville playing a game and the dam breaks, we have a plan that's going to handle that. May not handle it, but I understand. but you're saying even like for away games, we have something that coaches are readily aware of that they're going to be able to fall back on a binder, I guess.
No, I don't think. I think most of the emergency action plans focus on on-site.
On-site. Okay. Thank you.
Good evening. The next slide is MHS, MJUSD Coach's Handbook. Back when I started 17 years ago, there was a handbook, and there is no longer a handbook. So what we do at Marysville, we have a pre-season coaches meeting where we just go through what's important for our students and our coaches to know. It varies from student safety, facility safety, to parent communication, using GroupMe or used to be Team Snap. So we go through a litany of things. The agenda is about 4 pages long, and every coach is required to sit through that meeting with me. And we go through our budgetary items. Our Pam Kinney, our ASB secretary, she comes and she presents. We had DJ, our trainer, who, echoing Bob, invaluable. Oh my goodness, what they bring to our school. And so we try to take the place of the coach's handbook by doing these meetings. And so the next one, student transfer documentation. The CIF now has a site called CIF Home where all the documentation is uploaded or filled in on that CIF Home. You have to contact the former school, get their documentation, and then the CIF will either grant or not grant eligibility. When we have a change of address, and we think it's kind of, we always recommend, we always require a PG&E bill in the name or a water bill in the name. If there's a transfer that we're not quite sure about, we'll make a home visit just to make sure they're in the home, there's furniture in the home. And they understand because everyone's watching. So that's how we do it. If we have questions, we call Ryan Toss or Mike Garrison at CIF and say, hey, what do we do? And so we CIF has made it pretty streamlined for us. It used to be very paper intensive, but it's online. It's very streamlined. So that's how we handle the transfers. What's really hard is all the transfer students you get in during the school year. Keeping track of those guys. So at what we do at Marysville is we have our counseling secretary. She shoots me an email every time I get a new student. New student, Dave, here you go. I call them in. What are your plans? Do you want to play sports or not? So I kind of get an idea where they're going. But it's like a moving target. We have so many transfers. So
The next one, athletic documentation required for student participation. Well, this year is kind of exciting for Marysville. We have gone away from the triplicate, quadruplicate forms, and we use a thing called Home Campus, where it's all online. It's the first year we went to River Valley, and they trained us a little bit. Risa McFadden is our secretary that takes care of these. And the first year we're having some growing pains, but the coaches love it. There's no more packets of clearance forms. On their phone, they have an app. It has, if they're cleared, all the information, phone numbers. It's a little pricey, but the time it saves and the accuracy we now have, we have very few kids sliding through. We're still having a few that we're trying to figure out how do we stop that, but we get them all figured out before they start playing or practicing. So the home campus has been invaluable. Next year we're going to have the informed consent form on this website that says if I sign it, then our trainer can go ahead and, you know, work with your son or your daughter. And that's a big deal. Now, athletic code of conduct, we have one in this district. And it's out of date. It's obsolete. It doesn't address social media. It doesn't address vaping. So we have a lot of holes in that. We'd like to kind of shore it up, but we're just waiting. I don't know. So, board policy, athletic clarification, we have that. We've been doing that. Again, it's out of date. We could use some bringing it into the new millennia. So.
Our question.
Yes, sir.
And you might address this later. You still require attendance checks on a day of competition and teacher approval?
What we do
week so the child or the athlete can participate?
What we do is we check attendance every day of every week. We put out a list on Tuesday, and they have until Thursday at lunch to clear. If they don't clear, they sit out a contest.
Okay,
I
should put it this way.
Can
they get on the bus if they have missed a period of class that a teacher said he was tardy or not in the day of competition?
Yes. We usually don't catch the day of attendance that day, but I'll catch him the next week, or I'll catch her the next week. If they cut, they can't clear it, they'll sit.
We had to in the past. That's why I wondered if you still did that.
Yeah, we check for cuts. And our rule is you have to be at four periods on a game day to be eligible to play that game day. And again, it's pretty time consuming to check, so we might not catch them that day.
I never liked it, but once again, it's a very old school, but as they got on a bus, they would have attendance check. And it would list whether they were there every day, and it'd also have comments for the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And if the teacher said, Larry's been failing my class all year, then there would be a question of, hey, do we put academic second or first?
Right.
I don't know. Do you still do that?
We have grade checks every Friday. All of our athletes, they do grade checks every Friday with comments. They all come to me. I organize them on a spreadsheet. Those who are missing a class or have an F or below a 2.0, they go to mandatory tutoring on Wednesday of our curriculum days. If they don't go to tutoring, they don't play.
But then conceivably, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, a couple kids could go have fish and chips second period, and
yes, sir.
You wouldn't know it.
I would know it the next week because they'd get a cut.
The next week, but they would compete that day. Okay,
yes, sir.
That's no big thing, and I don't mean a nitpick.
Great question. No,
it used to drive me crazy as a coach that I had to collect all those forms and then make the determination whether they got to compete that day or not. Sometimes it'd be teachers that would just, in my opinion, not want them to compete because they were getting a C when they could get an A, and there was a lot of, you know.
It's nothing more powerful than your head coach going to you and say, "Hey, Siobhan, you got an F in math.
Exactly.
You've got what's this? What's this? You're disruptive in class. What is that?" Nothing more powerful than that. And our teachers have all of our head coaches' contact information. There's an issue, they contact me and the head coach. Usually it gets taken care of.
Yeah, we had a form that every athlete had to take out. He had the teacher's signature every period and the grade they were currently receiving that week.
That's what we do, yes, okay. Sir. And every teacher so far at our school, they've bought in, which is really nice.
Would you like that in the handbook that I hope we're going to develop for you?
To me, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm at Marysville, that's what we do. Okay. But it would be nice to be standardized with
whatever both schools
do. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Thank you.
Title IX, I see the uniforms. We try to provide the same coaches, the same facilities to both men's and women's. And what we did to level the playing field with uniforms, we're on a four-year rotation now with our school. We buy uniforms for all of our teams. And we're halfway through, and so that means our students aren't fundraising for uniforms. They might fundraise for something extra, but uniforms we take care of. So we try to keep the number of men's sports, women's sports the same, facilities the same, and now we've leveled the playing field with uniforms. Sports offered within MJUSD, really consistent on both sides of the river, Marysville and Lyndhurst. You can see we have a large variety of sports for our students. There are some individual sports, some team sports. Whatever a student wants to do, they can do it here at our schools. There are going to be changes because it seems at our school, at least, tennis is starting to kind of wane a little bit, and boys volleyball is starting to come. So we haven't figured out a way to add and subtract yet, but we're not to that point yet. That's a lot of opportunity for our students to be student athletes. Student participation. We're very proud of our school for having over half of our students playing sports. That's pretty impressive for us. Each school has their own culture, obstacles to overcome. We bus a number of our students up the hill, and that kind of hurts us a little bit, but we provide transportation for them to go home, so if they want to play, we find a way. And in our school, we have very few cuts. We don't cut students. Freshmen, they play mostly the same. JVs, everyone plays as long as they go to practice. And then varsity is when you kind of the cream of the crop plays more than everybody else. But we want everyone to participate. Our track team, it's going to be well over 100 this year, which is a credit to our coach. So we have some very good coaches, very good programs on both sides. Both schools have some excellent coaches. Questions for me or Mr. Jensen, Mr. Eckert?
Yeah, Dave,
yes, sir.
How many hours you put in a day doing just your AD stuff, more or less?
Mr. Boom, I get to school about 6:15, and the first, until 7:30, I'm working on AD stuff. And then on game days, I might get home at 9, because I try to go to every home event that we have, football, basketball, volleyball, boys and girls, because I think it's important that I see what's going on. I can't tell you how many hours. My wife could tell you how many hours I do, but...
It just appears that, along with coaching, teaching, doing your AD stuff, I don't know how there's enough time in the day. And, from a district office perspective, I don't know. I mean, that would be a question maybe for Romero. Do we need to allow ADs more time? I don't know how many hours a day are allotted to them now. Do they have enough time to do their entire job efficiently without spending, 6-8 extra hours in a day?
Teachers never have enough.
But anyways, that just comes to mind after seeing all this stuff. Is there enough time in a day for you guys to do everything that you need to do and get it all done and be up to code, ed code, and all that stuff?
I won't speak for Mr. Jensen, but I know, like I said, 17 years ago, my job description was like a three-quarters of a page or a half a page. Now it's like two sides. And it becomes more detailed with dealing with the CIF. That's tough. With all the clearances, that's difficult. But you just have to stay current. And I know Mr. Jensen puts a lot of time because he's coaching basketball also. And so it's a decision. I mean, we're stressed. I mean, he'll stay at school and do what he has to do to get it done. Same with me.
And does the AD still get an extra prep?
We get an extra prep.
One extra prep period.
Yes, sir.
One extra prep.
So you have two prep periods a day then? Yeah, once again, not nitpicking. I just wonder how you guys are doing it these days. You do want a handbook then. Is that a consensus? A new one? For junior highs and high schools, you'd like the board to...
Mr. Crawford, are you asking me what I want or I wish for?
Both of you.
I would like a handbook and updated athletic code.
Great. Hopefully you'll get it.
I agree.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Keanu.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ms. Scott.
Last time, you do it this time.
So, David, it seems pretty neat having the electronic clearance and all that, but I would, because you had talked about something on the telephone, maybe that was a consent form or...
It's their whole clearance packet with their emergency information, parents' phone contact. So one thing we worried about going to Colfax, did we have cell phone service up there? And we did. But if a coach is not familiar with his phone, we will print it out for them, and they can go ahead and carry the file with them.
So currently then, we do not have a hard copy of a release for treatment. So let's say you're at Colfax and you have to send a student to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Do you take the coach's phone with them to show that you have a release?
Well, usually if it depends what sport it is. The trainer will go for football, go for wrestling, but the other sports, you're looking at just a clearance, call the parent.
Wow, that's time-consuming. So we had to carry the release forms from the parents, right, Randy, when we coached and had to have it on the bus in the event someone did get hurt at a track or wrestling or football game, and then at the hospital, because without the parents' consent, if we tried to call and we couldn't get a hold of parents, which happened more than once.
Yes, sir.
You're really in a...
you're in a tough situation.
Predicament.
Yes, so...
Especially if it requires surgery immediately or something like
that. Those forms have been replaced by an app on the telephone.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm learning, too. Thank you.
You and me
both. So you're telling me our coach...
Yes, sir.
Our head coach or...
Assistant coaches.
Everybody has all of that information?
Yes, sir.
So they're going to release the student in the ambulance to go with.
If there's an injury where the student has to go, either the assistant coach or the head coach is going to go with them. We're not going to let that guy go, or admin that goes to many of our games, away games. They will go to the hospital with the student.
Are those district phones or personal phones?
Personal phones.
So they have all of a student's information on their personal phone?
On the app. Not stored on the phone, but on the app. So they go in, they have a password, email, password, and it brings up all the sports. They can scroll through to their sport, and they can look at their kids.
And then the admitting nurse would then, or hospital would then, show them the app, and then they would say, okay.
Yes, sir.
We can cut on Joey.
And then if they need treatment, I think they would call home and say, can we treat?
Yeah.
And that's even with the paper copy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr.
Keanu,
I would just like to tell you that I am so happy to see you still pushing forward with your athletic department. Athletic secretary for a minute there, and
yes,
I see that you have made... You know, you're doing everything that you can to make that work. And I know that you've always given every student a chance to participate, and you've supported them in every way that you can to make sure that they are successful at what they do.
Thank you.
I know that you've been doing this for a while, and I want to tell you that I really commend you for the hard work and your dedication as well.
That's why Mr. Jensen and I do it, right? Because we want
kids
to succeed.
Yeah, I didn't know him.
I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know
Scott.
You now. Okay.
So I would also like to thank you, David and Bob and Siobhan, for putting this together and all that you do for our student athletes. So thank you very much.
Thank you for coming, both of you. All of you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
They asked you about a prep period, and I'm not going to try to put that out there, but. Do you know what he does in his prep period? He's doing what he does in his regular work. I've been there with his prep periods, and he still continues to work straight through it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Starkey, did we have anything else under superintendent's report?
Yes, we do. We have the update on the 2018-19 LCAP, and it will be brief. And please, if you need to go home, please go. I know you athletic folks like staying up late and being at a game and not getting home till dark, but...
Hey, congratulations. Drive careful.
So I'm just going to highlight the items that are on this year's LCAP. So if we scroll through, back one, you'll notice that the new item this year is in red, and it's $55,000 has been allocated to fund the teacher development specialists. So those are the folks who are working with our new teachers. You may have heard it as the BITSA or new teacher support. This is our version of that, and our folks are trained in all of those strategies and work with Yuba and Sutter counties on that. Go to the next one and the next one. We did add one more full-time equivalent PE specialist. So you'll now see in that middle column where it says goal, it says total elementary PE specialist. We now have 5.9 FTEs for a total of $570,662. We did add one more music teacher, and this time we added it at Marysville High School. You'll also notice that we added some funding for the purchasing of musical instruments for Marysville High School. It's hard to have a band when you have no instruments, so we took care of that. So right now, our total music program, as far as staffing, we have 7 full-time equivalents, and we have purchased about $215,000, $800 in musical instruments. With CTE, we are now fully funding that program. So the total CTE funding amount is $850,000 per year. We've also added in their transportation, so that has gone up again. Every year it seems to go up a little more. So we're now at $66,728. We did, if you go back one, do a salary increase, a one-time off schedule of 2% for $1.474 million. And we did an ongoing salary increase of 3% for all of our employees, which is $2.2 million in round numbers. We did add one more assistant principal because we have more students, and we do follow the formula in Ed Code, so we try to match our number of students with administrators. And so this year we added a half-time position at both our BOGA and at Oliverhurst Elementary for around $105,600. We did add one more counselor. I think we now have a full complement of counselors. This time we did a full-time at Foothill and a full-time at Community Day School. They had half-time, so we've bumped it up, so they now have a full-time. As we've all realized, students don't have issues just on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. It's pretty much all week long. So by having their full-time, it's been a great benefit to those sites. So we currently have 3 intermediate school full-time counselors. You'll see Yuba Gardens, Foothill, and McKinney there. Our high school counselors, we have 8. And our alternative ed, which is our community day school in South Lyndhurst, now has 2. So our total cost for counselors every year is about $1.3 million. And we did bump up our routine maintenance because, as you know, our buildings aren't getting any younger and the needs are continuing to grow. So we bumped that up $975,000. So we now have an annual routine maintenance fund, or deferred maintenance fund, of $2 million, and it barely scratches the surface. We did eliminate this year the Parenting with Dignity classes. That's just based on participation, and that was dwindling last year, so we eliminated it this year. Not sure if it'll come back next year. We are just beginning this process. And then we had to begin funding our homeless students, so that is now at $12,000 that we pay to transport those kiddos who need to get back to their school of residence. So now we're on to 2019-20, and the process began yet again. So we have 3 meetings scheduled. We've streamlined it. Our folks are getting pretty good at this process. So we'll do our overview, talk about the governor's proposed budget, and then identify our strengths and needs from our look at that from our 2018 collection survey. And then on the 11th of April, we'll come together to develop a survey to send out to our all stakeholders. And then on the 16th of May, the committee will come back together to formulate their recommendations to the superintendent. And then we have our budget committee. We have a couple of positions that we're still waiting on, but we have a little bit of time, so those will be filled. And you'll see it's a full complement of community, students, and parents, teachers. All bargaining groups are represented there. So our timeline. We are going to have the recommendations finalized on May 16th to me. The first draft of the LCAP will be on the 24th of May. Tight timeline, but we seem to make it happen. So we'll be putting in some time to make that ready for you. I do need to make write written responses to any questions posed in the survey. And then our final draft will come to you to be heard in a public hearing on the 18th of June. And hopefully, on the 25th of June, you will adopt not only the LCAP, but the budget for the 19-20 school year. And yes, it's almost here. Questions? The nice thing is the LCAP is not a new phenomenon. We're kind of getting used to it, we understand it, and so we continue to allocate those funds based on need, the needs that are identified in the survey, and just continuing to flesh out some of the areas that we've begun to add. Counselors, I think we're pretty good now. Music, PE, some of the things that we've needed and programs that we cut. So it will be interesting to see what items get added for next year. And so with that, the superintendent's report is finally over.
Thank you, Dr. Starkey.
Well done.
Next, we have the superintendent of approval of the minutes. Approval of the regular board meeting for January 22nd, 2019. Are there any additions or deletions? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Was that Mr. Fleury?
Yes, it was.
Okay, motion by Mr. Fleury, second by Mr. Crawford. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seven yes. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items that a board member would like to have pulled off the consent agenda?
I did, Mr. Rasmussen, but I think it was answered before, and it was on the question of band uniforms and the purchase. Back in the day, we used to.
So would you like that? Would you like that pulled?
No, I don't think it's needed. I think the AD, Mr. Tino, did a good job of explaining that we don't do fundraisers anymore.
Are there any other discussions? Okay, is there a motion?
I'll make the motion then to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Motion by Mr. Crawford to approve. Is there a second?
Second
by Ms. Scott. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carry seven yes.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're on to new business, personnel services. We have 2018-19 initial bargaining proposal from MUTA to the MJUSD. We're going to open a public hearing. The public hearing is now open. Do we have any discussion regarding that, Mr. Carrion, or no? Nothing from the
public. If there's no discussion, I'll make a motion to close the hearing.
Motion by Mr. Boom to close the hearing. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carry seven yes. And Mr. Crawford has someone that he would like to close the meeting in.
It's with a real, it's been a very tragic few years, I guess that comes with the territory of getting older, but a colleague and one of the original teachers that opened up Lyndhurst High School in 1975 He was a colleague of mine on the Marysville High campus in 1974 and 1975. He was the band director at Lyndhurst High School when we both transferred in 1975 to open up the new campus. He was so renowned not only in this county but in the state and arguably in the nation. He proudly took his band to four Rose Bowl parades. He was definitely the epitome of greatness for the all of First Linda community. We lost 2 weeks ago Mr. Eric Hammer. Once again, like I said, we began our careers almost the same day in 1974. I want to close in his memory. He was preceded in death by his wife, Nancy. I attended her funeral in Martinez, and in all sincerity, if you ever heard the adage, he died of a broken heart. That might have been the case for Eric. He was never quite the same, but just a great, great guy. So he did, in the end of his career for many years, become the department head of music in UOP in Stockton, and his bands there were quite renowned too, so he did go on to quite fame after he left Lyndhurst. So it's with great sadness that I ask you, Mr. President, to close the meeting in honor of Mr. Eric Hammer.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford. Meeting adjourned.